Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you as we get ready to discuss the big signings, the trades, everything coming out since our last show. If you missed our previous podcast, we covered the goaltending changes in and around the NHL. Mike, there was a lot of stuff that happened between the signings and the trades, and we can probably do this one of two ways. We can just straight up pick teams and talk about the moves they made, which might be a little more efficient, or kind of jump around. I'll tee up the first one for you, though, because I know you have feelings.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins, Chris Letang, 6 over 36, Evgeny Malkin, 4 over 24.4. Those are both $6.1 million AAVs. And Ricard Raquel, 6 years at $30 million. So that's a $5 million AAV, but $6.1 million each AAV for Malkin and Letang. The only difference is Malkin gets 4 and Letang gets 6. Mike, your thoughts.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I thought Malkin was going to walk. It seemed like he was going to. He said publicly, looks like they don't want me. Looks like they don't like me. I mean, I think there was this quote. I don't think they like me. I'm out of here. Yeah. And here's my thing. Now Crosby went to bat for him publicly, right? He said, yes. We want him back. I'm just going to say it again. I love Malkin. I love watching him play. When he's on the ice, he sells tickets. When he's on the ice, you can't take your eyes off him because of his size and his skill level. He is a phenomenal hockey player, or was a phenomenal hockey player. But here's the thing, Tom, I just don't understand. You're bringing now Raquel was a recent acquisition. Let's just talk about Letang and Malkin. Tom, you haven't won a playoff series with these guys forever. Why are you continuing to sign these guys you're not going to win with them? That's been proven. This wasn't a case where 3 years ago you won the Stanley Cup, you had some injuries, let's continue. Look, we're in the run. It has now been proven you can't win the Stanley Cup with this group anymore. You can't. You're not going to. So why would you take that money? The fan base is there. They're going to continue to come to the games. It's a mystery to me. I love them as players, but you're not winning with them anymore. I just don't understand it. Can you explain to me why did Pittsburgh do it?
I know why they did it, because of they feel like this is, you know, kind of the holy trinity, if you will, of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey here of this generation of fans is Malkin, Letang, Crosby. Letang, it's 6 years, $6.1 million. I know by the end of this contract, it'll be bad. They know that too. The question is how many years into it? The window is shutting for the Penguins on this group. I mean, to put it politely, I mean, Raquel's a younger guy, still pretty darn good money for Raquel, but Malkin is, again, the durability is the biggest question he has. If he's healthy, he could play well, but how often is he healthy? Well, 4 years of that now, 6 years of it for Chris Letang, who also has health problems. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to figure out. I feel like Pittsburgh, as you mentioned, Mike, it's been 5 years since they've won a playoff series. They blew a 3-1 lead and looked like they were going to be able to close out. Now, the Rangers are a very good hockey team. Don't get me wrong. They deserve to win the series. But, man, Pittsburgh just could not shut the door. I don't know. I don't know what possessed Pittsburgh to go after that. I think they're one of the teams that, in a lot of ways, some teams that stood pat didn't get any better. Some teams lost players and got better. I think Pittsburgh did not help itself, did not improve by signing these guys to these contracts. Were they shorter? And they didn't remember. They were both offered identical 3 or 5 million AAVs. They didn't take it. They didn't want it. 3 years, 15 million. They both said no. So here we are. I'd be frustrated if I'm a Penguins fan to a certain extent, even if I have a Malkin jersey.
You're not going to win. It's 5 years. You're not winning with this group. You're not. That is bad money spent on those guys. That's a shame. And I thought with the new general manager and a new president that they were going to enter a new era in Pittsburgh. And I understand now. I don't have an affinity for Crosby. I'm just not a huge fan. Not that I don't like him, but just, you know, I don't have those kind of feelings for him. I just think it's time to turn over that club. It's just time to do that. And Crosby is the face of your team, but you could live. Fans could live without Letang and Malkin, and you could sell them on this is a new era. We've got young kids coming. We're going to take that money and do something else with it. It's a mystery. I can't believe I'm going to be proven wrong, but I've been more surprised. It'd been one thing if Rutherford was still running the show there, and you go, look, these guys wanted me a cop, and you know what? Got this, you know, bond with them, and I'm hoping that maybe they can get it back. But this was a new regime running this team now. You would think that they would have turned it over without the same feelings that the old general manager had. That's kind of what really surprised me about it. I thought they'd be a little more hard-shelled about turning over and not signing those guys.
I have zero knowledge of this. But my theory, my conspiracy theory, this is my conspiracy theory, is that Crosby went to ownership. Ownership put the weight on Hextall and Burke to keep them and said, you just figure out a way to get it done. That's the only thing I can come up with. Yeah. So other than that, I don't get it. But all right, so that's Pittsburgh. That's the biggest group, I think, there. We'll talk about teams that may change here in just a minute. I want to get to Ottawa. I want to talk about Carolina. I want to talk about Vegas. But we have to talk about the biggest individual name that was out there. Johnny Gaudreau ends up in Columbus, Mike.
What?
Columbus. But he's getting roasted everywhere. He's getting roasted. Now, look, Philly, people are saying, well, Philly must have backed out. I think Philly couldn't actually afford to sign him after the signings they made. I think Philadelphia priced themselves out. And some of that is the legacy of contracts they signed previously with Hextall as GM. So I don't think they could, but at the end of the day, he left a lot of money on the table in Calgary to leave the Flames. He said, I wanted to get back closer to the Eastern Seaboard. Fair enough. Columbus, I think, is a very underrated city. But why is it that when a guy, and especially an American, chooses, or any player really, chooses an American team over a Canadian team, they just get roasted? Well, he doesn't want to win. Or he doesn't want this. The guy made an individual choice. And I mean, if Columbus is where you want to raise your family, I can't fault you for that. You know, it's not New York City, but maybe that was appealing to you. He made a personal choice here, and he's just getting crushed.
Yeah, from all angles, from Calgary. Because Calgary, I had predicted before the free agency that we could see our first $12 million a year player. And from reports, Calgary was willing to do that, weren't they? They were gonna give him the 8-year, big money, and he must have wanted to get out of there because it wasn't, I don't know. Is it the taxes? Is it living in Canada? Is it whatever? Is it the now what the prime minister is doing there now and turning that country into? Do you not, as an American, you just not want to live there? I don't know, but everybody thought he was going to the Jersey, New York area, right. Include Philadelphia in that. There's four teams in there, including Philadelphia with Jersey, Rangers, and Islanders. I thought that maybe if they could find a way money-wise, if I was Gaudreau, I would have been knocking on Chris Drury's door and going, can you let me in here? Let's figure out a way. I might take a little less money because you guys are going to win the cup here soon. If you really want to win and be a big name and be Johnny Hockey, what better place than the Rangers to do that? That's a team that plays like he wants to play. They're flying around, the Rangers. They're going to win a cup. I don't know. That, to me, would have been the perfect place for him to play. But all I kept hearing all day was it's Philly, Jersey, and the Islanders that were making the noise about him. I didn't hear anything about Columbus, did you? during the day.
No. And it was interesting. Jarmo Kekäläinen's comment was interesting. He said it really didn't come together until almost the day it happened, when he said things escalated pretty quickly and basically said to Goudreau's camp, are you guys serious about this? And all of a sudden that materialized really fast, which is why some people speculate, well, the Islanders offer wasn't good. Philly pulled out, whatever. Or the Devils, or look, Goudreau could have gone somewhere. There's plenty of teams on the eastern side of the country and gone somewhere to play. He picked Columbus. And Columbus is, look, not on anybody's threat level radar to win a cup next year. But did they just become instantly a better team? Yes. And I think it's interesting that Columbus is a market, Buffalo's a market, Ottawa's a market, where Winnipeg's a market, to name a Canadian city, where they are decidedly unsexy to free agents. But now the biggest name of the summer picked Columbus, and probably the second or third biggest name picked Ottawa in Claude Giroux. Now, mind you, you know, he's got ties to the area and all that, but boy, oh boy, that is a little bit more of a vote of confidence. And in a way, I still feel like it's damning for Calgary. Like, the Flames got worse did nothing to help themselves.
No. And you know, there's also now this air of what's wrong and why would he turn down that kind of money? What does he know in that locker room that we don't know, you know, right, that's so bad? I mean, you're going to turn down $12 million? I don't know. That's a big slap to Calgary, isn't it? Because they were willing to give him the 8 years. He was going to get an extra year. He was going to get big. He was going to get much more money than he got in Columbus. But he obviously wanted out of there. But was it because he didn't like Calgary at all? Did not just like living in the country, or he wanted to get back home? You know, those are questions that only he could answer. But it doesn't make Calgary look very good when somebody that talented and you offer him the moon and he says no and just wants to get out of there. That's a good team. It'd be one thing if he was playing for Arizona and they went, look, we'll give you $12 million a year for 8 years. And you just go, no, not a chance. I'm out of here. But Calgary, I thought that they were the second best team. I mean, they finished first in their division. They probably during this whole season were probably the second best team in the conference. And something happened there in that second round against Edmonton. But you know, it doesn't make that franchise look good when the player like of that caliber leaves. But Columbus is interesting now, isn't it? Now, he will sell tickets. He's a guy that he will sell tickets in Columbus. You'll want to see him play. He is in my top five favorite players to watch in the NHL right now. And I just love him. But boy, oh boy, you are not. I just thought he was a perfect fit for the Rangers, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what is Columbus on the upswing? Is that a team that are they going to be better? They'll be better because of him, but are they moving in the right direction to make the playoffs and make some noise? I don't know.
Well, especially in the East, where we've talked about now, you wonder, do the Capitals, the Penguins, the Bruins, any of those age out, kind of fall out? We know the Islanders had a down year last year. Are the 7 and 8 spots up for grabs? Who are the Flyers? Are they still bad? Are they going to get better? Who are the Devils? Who are the Blue Jackets? Who are the Sabres didn't get better, but look at what Ottawa and Detroit did. To segue over to those, Ottawa now has Cam Talbot, got rid of Matt Murray. They brought in Alex DeBrincat. Now they traded Connor Brown a little bit earlier, but Ottawa's made some really nice moves. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, they also brought home a big time. Oh, and by the way, they signed Josh Norris to an 8-year contract extension. He had 35 goals last year. He's 23 years old. They paid through the nose for him, just south of $8 million AAV, 63.6 over those 8 years. But that seems to be the going rate. And they got Claude Giroux. So now Ottawa, all of a sudden, Mike, is opening up the purse strings like we haven't seen them do in probably since the Mike Fisher era. When they went to the cup in the middle of we're talking 15, 17 years ago. But we have to talk about Ottawa now, because all of a sudden Ottawa got better real fast.
They did. They if everybody pays off, if everybody lives up to the potential. But you know what? I like it. I like a team that goes, we're going for it. Now's the time. We dropped out. We made a horrendous change. I mean, the trade that they made involving Colorado and Nashville gave a cup to Colorado and set Ottawa back years with that. It was one of the worst trades in the history of the National Hockey League they made. And they
paid for it. That's saying something.
Yeah, it was a really bad trade. Nashville and Ottawa both were part of that fleecing. But you know what? It's interesting to see now. They're back with a vengeance, aren't they? They're all of a sudden, they're going to be a team that you go, oh, I think I'll watch this game. Whereas for the last 3 years, you couldn't pay me enough money to sit through a whole game that Ottawa was playing. You know,
I enjoyed watching Ottawa last year because they had some of the younger talents. Guys that I wanted to see how they were going to do, how they were going to adapt. They've started to hit on some of their picks, but this is the thing. Colorado, and now people are starting to say things like this. Well, Colorado was last 5 years ago, but Colorado also stumbled into Cale Makar. Colorado had Nathan MacKinnon. Colorado has had other players, and they, you know, some of whom they've had to pay through the nose. We'll get to that. We'll talk about Val Nichushkin and those guys. But they had the homegrown talent, Mike. Now that's, I think, what Senators fans are pinning their hopes on. Is Giroux, with his 3-year deal, going to be the guy who kind of captains this group of players up, helps grow them up, and puts them into cup contention? Maybe not by the time he's done and retires in 3 years, but maybe in year 4, year 5, maybe they're there now.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going in the right direction. I would love to watch some games this year and see. I mean, I love DeBrincat. You know, they obviously got better in goal. It's all of a sudden a very interesting team to watch now after they had been just horrific for years.
Yeah, that's that one's a good one. And I'm going to talk about Detroit because I know you don't want to. But I like David Perron going there, 2 years, $9.5 million. That's a lot of money for Perron, but I think he was a glue guy in St. Louis, and I think the Blues are worse for losing him. Ben Chiarot, 4 years, $19 million. Again, a little bit of an overpay for Detroit, but now Detroit's starting to spend some money. Andrew Kopp goes from the Rangers to Detroit. Detroit is building, and they're starting to open the purse strings now. And this is a team that we were talking about. They got Ville Husso out of St. Louis. They have a secure tandem now with Alex Nedeljkovic. Detroit is, they're going to have some interesting decisions coming up in a year or two. But another team that's on the cusp there, like Ottawa, is. However, one of the teams they have to leapfrog is Carolina. And look at what Carolina did. This is amazing. Now, they got rid of Tony DeAngelo, who can be a ticking time bomb. They sent him off to Philadelphia. They got a great year out of DeAngelo because he needed to prove it to stay in the league. They parlayed that into a trade to send him to Philly. But now, to replace him, they brought in Brent Burns. They traded for him. And, I mean, they just absolutely stole Pacioretty and Coughlin from Vegas. I'm still shaking my head about this, and I can't wait to talk about Vegas. But holy cow, Carolina just got even better.
Oh yeah, they're better. They're better because they needed guys who could score. And I know it doesn't necessarily matter on the ice, but they needed some little more dynamic to their team. Pacioretty and Burns gives you that. You know, that's a very watchable team now. We used to make the joke the last couple of years, Tom, that if 5 Carolina players walked down Broadway, nobody would know who they were. Now, you know what? Now you bring in Burns, you bring in Pacioretty. All of a sudden, you got a little, I don't know, a little more swagger, I think, to you there in Carolina. To me, with those moves, if they live up to it, I think they could finish. I think them and the Rangers will battle for first in the conference. In the East now.
That's fair. Pacioretty is a guy who's going to give you, he can give you 35, 40 goals.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And Burns, let's face it, if you can convince Brett Burns to get into some overalls, with that beard, you have the most Carolina ticket sales campaign. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, well, he's one of us, you know, they'll totally relate to the Mountain Man. But they did, they got better. And, you know, maybe D'Angelo's younger, but Burns, I think, has the battle scars of longer playoff runs from earlier in his career. He's the same offensive upside guy, maybe a little slower. But I like that. I think they did a real nice job with that. And let's face it, part of the problem was Freddie Anderson not being healthy. Also helped derail Carolina.
Yeah, that hurt them. Yeah, not since Mike Commodore has there been better hair on a head in Carolina.
Nice.
So it's I'm a Carolina fan now. That's I can't wait to watch the Rangers against Carolina. That'll be the best game to watch in the Eastern Conference next year.
Yeah. A couple other names, Mike, I want to throw at you and just get your reaction on a few of these. And again, these are between trades and big signings. But Evander Kane stays in Edmonton 4 years, $20.5 million.
I thought he would. You didn't think he would. I thought he was going to stay. You thought he was going to go, right?
I didn't
think
they come up with the money for him.
Yeah. No,
I'm surprised they did.
What a story. That guy should have been out of the league last year, right? He should have been done. He played his heart out in the playoffs. I mean, he scored.
Yeah.
He played well in the playoffs. And boy, hand that guy another big contract though. This will be, you know what? Let's see if he grew up or not, Tom. Do you think a Tiger changes his stripes? Is Evander Kane, now he's got the money back in his pocket. He lost all that money. They canceled that contract. He had a big contract with San Jose, and they took it away. They took all his money away. He got big money again. That's the question. Does a Tiger change his stripes? Has he grown up, and will he behave himself and be a good professional, score goals, hit some people, and help an Edmonton team to the conference finals again? Or does he self-implode and the locker room goes bad and that team sinks out of playoff contention? It's going to go one way or another with him, isn't it?
I'd love to say that he's older, mature, wiser, more mature. He's got a long way to go to prove it to me, honestly. And just when I was about to maybe be a little swayed and say, well, maybe he has grown up, then he ends up, you know, suspended for the hit on Kadri, ends up watching Edmonton get eliminated from the press box. You know, it's hard. It's hard when it's a reaction on the ice. It's hard when it's a reaction off the ice. So I don't know. And I'm not even getting into the domestic side of Kane or his off ice troubles, because there's two sides to every story. I'm not going to judge him for that stuff. But to me, there's a lot of stuff at play here. And Kane, you're right, this could be a great value contract. If he scores like he did in the playoffs, Mike, if he's going to give him 40 goals, 50 goals, especially if Kane sees some time with Draisaitl and or McDavid, depending on how they distribute the talent. Yeah. I mean, you or I could probably play with McDavid, put our stick down in front of the net and score 20.
I think so.
So, and he would just bank it in off our blade. So, right. You know, this could be a good value contract for Edmonton for the next 4 years, but boy, it better be. Because if it's not, you're right. Some players have the ability to tear locker rooms apart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why an organization like San Jose decides that not only do they not want you there, they send you home and tear up your contract. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I hope it works out, because he's a talented player.
Fingers crossed for the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And for Edmonton, but they got to look at his behavior in the locker room. I mean, even if he had produced the way he did, Tom, but he was a real problem in the locker room, I don't know. You would hope they wouldn't have signed him. I hope that he behaved himself. I hope he was a good teammate. And if that's the case, he'll be worth every penny.
Yeah. Not defending cup champs anymore, but winners of two of the last three now, Tampa Bay. So they let Andre Palat go to Jersey, and he got paid 5 years, $30 million. So he did that. And then Tampa Bay turned around and did the you get an eight-year contract? You get an eight-year contract. Eric Chernak, Anthony Cirelli, Mikhail Sergachev, all eight-year deals.
Wow.
And Chernak is 5.2 AAV, Cirelli 6.2, and Sergachev 8.5 million on the AAV. That's a lot of cake Tampa Bay is throwing around for a team that was bumping its head against the ceiling repeatedly over the last several years. So something's going to have to give elsewhere. Obviously, letting Pollock go, they made the decision not to pay him. And McDonough, instead, and trading McDonough. Yeah. But, man, Tampa Bay, it's a little crazy to me that they turn around and dole out three straight eight-year deals to these guys.
8 years is so long. It's crazy. It's too long. I don't know. We can spend a whole show talking about how silly it is to have eight-year contracts. But they're all young. And they are, you know, parts of winning some cups, and wow, that's a lot of money and a lot of commitment to a team. You know, we wondered when they were going to run out of gas, and they did. And you just had another long, even though you lost, you had another long season. I don't know. Yeah. You ran out of gas. You don't have any more gas.
Yeah,
you didn't run out of gas in the first round. You went to the finals again. You went six games in the finals. So I don't know what Tampa Bay's got next year. But where's this money going to come from? Somebody told me that they thought that at this point right now they're about $6 million over the cap. They got to figure out.
They still got work to do.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to put Kucherov back on the IR all season again? I mean, what are you doing? So it's, boy, they weren't afraid to spend the money, though. Or more than the money, it's those eight-year terms that...
Well, those really bother you, don't they?
It does. Again, I have a son who wants to be an NHL general manager. We talk about this all the time, and I just think 8 years is a huge commitment for a sport that guarantees its contracts and has immense amount of injuries in it. It's a hard physical sport, and it is a young person's sport now. And you are asking somebody to play to a certain level for 8 years with a hunger that it's a rare individual that can do it. And human nature says, I just got paid. I can let off the gas a little bit now. That's human nature. And it takes a rare, special player to be still really hungry, and especially after you've been a part of a cup-winning team. It's hard. It's even harder to be hungry. What are you playing for now? I don't know. That's a lot of money to give to guys.
It is a lot. It is an awful lot. I do want to mention a couple teams I thought made some nice moves. I thought Anaheim improved. I thought Montreal improved. Ryan Strome ends up in Anaheim. The Ducks do a couple. Oh, by the way, Andre Kasha to Carolina, that's a sleeper move to me. I did want to throw that in there. I like Kasha as a player. I've liked him since he was in the Ducks organization. I know things haven't quite worked out for him just yet, but he has a lot of upside and potential. So that might be a sleeper one for Carolina, especially if he hangs out in that middle six. Anaheim also got Frankie Vatrano from the Rangers, which I thought was good for them. Vinny Trocheck, by the way, went to the Rangers. So that kind of, helped smooth that one over. Robert Thomas, eight-year extension in St. Louis for $8.13 million. Josh Manson stays in Colorado. But we talked about some of the teams. Philip Forsberg, they had to sign him. They did. 8 years, $68 million. I mean, that they had to. Brock Besser re-signed in Vancouver. I was surprised it wasn't JT Miller who got the money, but 3 years, 6.65 AAV. Kevin Fiala got a lot of money in L.A. I think L.A. is going to hate that contract eventually. 7 years, $55.13 million. But, Mike, the team that I've really been waiting to get to here, really kind of excited. Put him up on a big old tee. I'm going to grab the driver and take a big swing with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Right.
They re-sign Riley Smith, 3 years, $5 million. And I was predicting Smith, who was also a $5 million cap hit before this, was the guy they were going to let go. Instead, they have now given away, I mean, for future considerations, given away, Max Pacioretty, Dylan Coughlin, who is a nice defenseman. I like him a lot. He is a good 5-6 depth defenseman. Evgeny Dodonov, who they tried to trade in the regular season. They nullified the trade, and all Dodonov did was come back and be their best player for the rest of the year. Now Dodonov is gone again to Montreal. So, and they've gotten nothing. They got futures for Pacioretty and Coughlin because of their cap problems. They're still over the cap, by the way. Vegas is still not under the cap. And they gave Riley Smith, who is an aging second or third line guy, really, at this point. And they don't have Alex Tuch anymore. They had to get rid of him to get Jack Eichel, as well as Peyton Krebs, and a pick that Buffalo absolutely loved at 16 this year, which none of this has worked out well for them, for Vegas. Vegas has been so poorly mismanaged, I seriously wonder how nothing has changed in that management structure. I mean, I think they scapegoated DeBoer to a certain extent. I'm not a Pete DeBoer fan, but you fire the coach because you can't fire the players, right? Mike, the players are not the problem. The cap is the problem. This team is in desperate need of help. We don't even know if Robin Leonard's healthy or if he'll stay healthy or how long he'll be healthy.
Or if he's any good, really.
Especially, at this point, once you've been injured so much, I mean, it's depreciating returns, right?
Well, not only that, what has he ever really done anyway?
He had one good Vezina nominated season. That's what he did.
Yeah. But it's a mess, and it's a shame. It's just a shame. That is a team that when they started, you thought, this is the way you do a franchise right. I mean, they came out of the gate. They sold out. It was fun to go to games. The team was dynamic. I mean, look what they did their first year. There was just something special about that team when they started. It really, we've never, ever in the history of the NHL had an expansion team do what they did and get people that excited. And it was so much fun. Great team. Then you make this huge Eichel trade. I mean, man, big deal. Big deal. But wow, have they just, you know, I'm trying to think of a gambling or a card playing term. I'm not a Vegas person in terms of gambling. What is it when you misplay your hand? Let's say you're in poker. What is that? I don't know what that's called. Whatever that is, they misplayed the hand that they were dealt, I guess.
And that's the thing. You can't even call this a bad beat where you think you have good cards, but your opponent just has better cards. It's not even a bad beat. They have tanked themselves, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. They did it. They did it to themselves, didn't they?
Yeah. No one has any sympathy. No one's going to rush to help them.
No, they're not a well-liked team around the league. Other franchises. No, you know, that's a franchise that other teams are happy to see go down the tubes. And what's a shame is it makes the Western Conference less fun to watch, less competitive, and it hurts the game of hockey because you finally get a team in Vegas. You waited all those years. It starts out with a bang. And also, it just makes it competitive in the West, which right now it's not competitive in that West. And it's a shame. It's too bad. You took a franchise that got off to such an amazing start, and now it's a joke. It's very disappointing. And just like Connor McDavid, I don't know this guy at all, but man, I feel bad for Jack Eichel. I guess here's a guy. He just can't. It's like, oh my goodness. I go to Buffalo. They stink. And then I want out of there. And I'm going to Vegas. Perfect. This is a perfect scenario. And then you don't make the playoffs. And now you look like you may not make the playoffs next year. I mean, that guy, he's going to go his whole, he looks like he might go his career and not win a Stanley Cup, doesn't it? He could have been one of the best players in the NHL.
Yeah, it's painful right now to watch what's going on in Vegas. I would be shocked I think they'll be in contention for the playoffs. Do I think they'll make it? Not with any certainty. I don't know unless that they will.
Not unless the goaltending works itself out. You're not contending with Michael Hutchinson. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, you need Panda to be both healthy and productive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he can be?
Yeah. And it's, man, that's tough. But this is mismanagement. You know, this is not coaching. And good luck to Bruce Cassidy. Who knows? Maybe he implements something that helps him turn it around, or there's a management of the assets that he has on the bench that produces better results than we're anticipating. But this is management, Mike. And it's a shame for the Vegas fans.
Yep.
But they have just buried themselves. And it was clear from the get-go. When they made the Cup final that first year, the immediate plan became win now,
mm-hmm.
and we're burning the future. They traded away guys who used to be on that team, besides Brännström, also Suzuki, who's now a major contributor in Montreal, Krebs, who is penciled in to be a contributor in Buffalo. Cody Glass, I still think, has upside to him, but, you know, Nashville's trying to figure that one out. But they traded away a lot of these top picks. They didn't even keep these guys. And so now the cupboard's bare. And you turn around and now you need help, because it would be nice to have a couple of homegrown guys, wouldn't it, who are budget friendly, that you could plug into the lineup and you could let Riley Smith go instead of Max Pacioretty. They don't have that option.
It's a shame. It's too bad. It's such a shame. That's a franchise that, boy, they turned in a hurry. And it's just been one bad decision after another. And I would have loved to have seen Eichel, Pacioretty, and Stone play a whole season as a line together. We're not going to get a chance to.
So let me ask you, Mike, out of all the teams, good, bad, indifferent, who really stuck out to you?
Ottawa.
As far as what they did.
Ottawa and Carolina. I thought they did some good stuff. I like where Ottawa's going. I now think, I don't know if Carolina is better than the Rangers now. Rangers have a better goalie that might make the difference, but it's hard to believe it's not going to be, and they're in the same division, but it's hard to believe that they're not going to be 1-2, the Rangers and Carolina, that one of those two teams are going to come out of the East. I mean, I thought the Rangers were on track to, you know, be winning the Cup within the next 3 years, but Carolina is going to make it very difficult on the Rangers. Pacioretty landed their laps. You know?
I know. Like, For free.
That's what I mean. I mean, they got him for nothing. And I you know what? Burns, you don't know. He, maybe a new location, new scenery could be just what he needs. He's, you know what? But he'll be fun. He'll be fun to have on that team. And it gives them a little more personality. Little, you know, just a little sure. Something. I don't know. I like Carolina and Ottawa. I think those two teams did something really good and fun. The Rangers disappointed me a little bit. I think that I would have loved to have seen them take a stab at Goudreau and try to figure out that money with him and see if they could. I think he would have been an awesome fit in that town. Oh my goodness, he would have been king of New York if he had gone in the way he plays. Anyway, what about you? What do you like or dislike in terms of teams, what they did?
Well, obviously I disliked Vegas. It wasn't a fan. I agree with you with Ottawa and Carolina. I also like Montreal, and that includes their draft. I also think I'm disappointed with Tampa Bay. Now maybe those 8-year contracts will turn out to be decent, but to me, I don't want to say it's desperate. They obviously like those players and they want to hold on to them. And in a couple of years, this could represent value. But let me tell you, a lot of these top teams are praying that these cap deals or the cap numbers are going up and that these deals will not harm them in the future. I was also a little disappointed with Minnesota, but that was more in our goalie podcast. Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I'm still shaking my head at Pittsburgh a little bit here. I understand why they did it. I really do, but I just don't agree with it. But at the end of the day, Mike, Tampa Bay, is this the beginning of what could be the last money they're really going to be able to spend? That'll be the interesting question for me. You know, and again, this is kind of more towards a goalie podcast, but man, what did Toronto do? Toronto needed to get better. Can we have a discussion that says our top four teams are Rangers, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, and then Are the rest of them up for grabs, or do we have to make it a top five and include Toronto? Can you include Toronto at this point?
No. They needed to be better in goal, and they're not now. So no. They got knocked out again early, you know, and had a lead in the series and lost it. They got worse in goal. They're only one of the reasons they're so highly thought of is just because of the city they play in. If they switch cities with Columbus, you wouldn't even think anything about them.
They do have Austin Matthews.
Oh yeah, I mean but as a team, they're overrated just because they are Toronto.
Fair. I could see all the hate emails coming in from Leafs fans now. That's all right. We've had to move Mike to an undisclosed location in the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
Yeah, that's. I think that covers it. A lot of other teams did some nice things, and we talked about some of those. I didn't get to all the signings because you know we'd be here all night, but you know it's nice to see that. Some of the money was well spent. Some of the money was foolishly spent. But, Mike, that's why I like, you know, we get to commentate on all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And say that, you know, we're not GMs, but we play them on TV and in our podcast.
And I'm always the thing that I always find fascinating. I'm not going to say enjoy. I find fascinating every year. I always go, there's always guys like Phil Kessel who you think, where's he going to go? Who's going to give him some money? And then they just fade into oblivion. They just sort of go away. Nobody wants them anymore. It's, you know, and I wonder if Kessel will have a place to play next year.
Okay, here's one.
And there's other guys, right? There'll be other guys that you go, sure. Wow, wasn't he in the league last year? Nope, he doesn't have a job anymore. You know, he's out.
This guy will find a place and may have found a place by the time this podcast is actually published, but mm-hmm. I think overplayed his hand a little is Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kadri thought he was going to go out and people were going to back up a Brinks truck for him. I don't think the interest was there the way he thought it was going to be.
No, he's a second line center on a great team. And he's not a first line. His money, the money he wants would make him a first line center, and he's not a first line center.
Unless you go to a team that is so far down the standings that, okay, then you go in and you are the 1C.
Right.
So you're going to get paid like it, but you're going to go somewhere you're not going to win.
Right. But you're not going to play like a number one center. You're not. Yeah. You're just not. He's obviously a instrumental part, but as a number two center. And we've gone through the reasons why you're able to succeed because you're not up against the top pair, you're not up against their checking line, you have the ability to produce more because of where you're playing, and if you go and you're the number one somewhere, you won't have those luxuries and you won't produce the same amount of numbers. And NHL general managers, while it seems like when we talk about some of these contracts, are not the smartest guys, but they're not stupid. And if I can come up with this theory, then and those guys know much more than I do that he's not worth number one center money.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up and for mm-hmm. how much.
Yeah.
So that's another name, and there will be more names that are still hanging out. There always are, right? Mm-hmm. We get to camp. There's always one or two guys who're going, man, I wonder where he's going to land if mm-hmm. he's going to land.
Right.
So
right, and then I always. Weren't you always struck, Tom, when you went to the NHL camp and guys, you go, oh, he's here on a PTO, a player tryout contract, looking for a job? There's always, every year, there's always one or two guys that show up that had jobs, look like they were solid NHL guys, and now they're looking for something. It happens every year. And it'll happen in the camp this year.
And then there's always this guy. Man, how did he get a PTO?
Right, exactly.
You know, but it does. It works both ways. And you know what? Those guys, too, the other thing, and we've seen this before, they'll go home. They may not get an offer coming out of camp, but 2-3 weeks into the season, somebody has an injury, there's a need, right. They're right back in.
Right. No, and you hope for guys like that. I want to see anybody who wants to continue to play play until they tear those skates off your feet. You know, and continue to play the greatest game that's ever been invented.
Yep. Yep, but Father Time is undefeated. We know that. All right, well, that pretty much wraps up, I think, what Mike and I can drop on you for all of everything that's going on here. We will be doing more podcasts throughout the summer here, but, you know, that's as much of a wrap as I think we're going to put on the signings and everything. And now, Mike, it'll be a lot of we're coming out of prospect camps and evaluations and seeing what teams might do to, you know, there'll be some tricklings of signings, but now it's just the little bit of dead space. You and I might return to story time, might talk some rule change possibilities and some of the things we don't really stretch our legs on during the regular season. But either way, it's always fun.
It's always fun. No, we'll have things to talk about. And so please keep looking out for a podcast this summer. We're going to, I think you and I have talked about, we're going to go through all the teams. We'll do our evaluations, the pluses and minuses, and we'll go through what teams have done right and what teams have done wrong. We're really good about that part. Really,
Mike is brilliant at the right and wrong.
That's right. I look forward to that. So we'll be doing that all summer. I can't wait. And then, we're going to blink. You know, we're in the middle of July now. We're going to blink. We go, oh, it's time for camps. It's time for the camps. So. Yeah. So hang with us. We'll be around all summer, and we'll look forward to really cranking it up once the training camps begin.
Absolutely. All right. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate you being here. Follow Mike on Twitter, at BusterTheDog33. I'm at Callahan on Air. And don't forget, we will do the podcast, but then we will let you know when Talking Puck TV is coming back on Sunday nights once we get into September, which will be in approximately 32 minutes from now. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next time on the Talking Puck podcast.